Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, musicians, for your ministry. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." O God, we thank you for the reminder that you are coming again. So I ask and pray as we study your word this evening, may we stand unashamed at that glorious moment. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. In God assuring Moses that he has all the authority he needs to do what God has commanded him to do, we noted the other week that God tries to move Moses along there in chapter 3 by giving him hope, that he's to give hope to the people of God. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. And not only hope, he gives him a goal to present before Pharaoh, to go into the wilderness and worship for a couple of days. And then last but not least, God endeavors to move Moses by assuring Moses that God will work. God will work. And God will not only provide for the needs of the people of God, but God will also manifest his power. And all of this is to move Moses, to move Moses so that God's people will be moved to leave Egypt. Moses just needs to obey God. Moses just needs to get moving. So likewise for you and I in 2022, we just need to get moving. Get moving for the Lord. It seems like many have retreated, many have become spiritual sloths. Sloths are mentioned a number of times in the Bible. Sloths move, but they move so little. But they move, but they move so little. And we just need to get moving for God's glory, because Jesus Christ is coming again. And God was presenting before Moses hope that, Moses, you'll be leading my people, your people, to a land that flows with milk and honey. And he gives Moses a tangible goal to present before Pharaoh in moving forward. And then he assures Moses that I will provide your needs and rest assured that I will manifest my power on your behalf. And now we come to chapter 4, verse number 1. And as we begin this chapter, Moses is concerned about how is he going to do it. How is he going to do what God has called him to do? He initially was concerned about authority. What sort of authority do I have to go before Pharaoh, who has all the authority in Egypt? Who am I? But here in chapter 4, he's concerned about how is this going to happen? How am I going to do this? For he said there in verse number 1, they will not believe me. How can I possibly lead them
out of Egypt, how can I possibly lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt if they won't, I don't think they'll even believe me. They won't even believe that you've appeared unto me and you've commissioned me and you've sent me to lead them out. They're not going to even believe me. How can I possibly do it? So poor Moses is concerned about his ability to do what God has called him to do. So let's see, how does God deal with Moses in not only assuring him that he has all the authority he needs to fulfill God's will, but how does God assure Moses that he has the ability to do what God has called him to do? And so likewise for you and I, as blood-bought children of God, we have all the authority we need to do the will of God. God has given you that authority. But also we need to be mindful that God has given us the ability. God's calling is God's enabling. And this is what God is addressing with Moses here. Moses is concerned about his ability to do what he needs to do. For he said, they will not believe me. They're not going to believe that you really appeared. And really, God, how can I prove it? I don't have any eyewitnesses. I was there alone there on the backside of the desert. How could I possibly prove that you really said what you said to me? And note our Lord's response then, verse number 2. The Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And Moses responds, a rod, a branch, a shepherd's stick, that which is used to guide, comfort, and even discipline sheep, that's what Moses had in his hand. Moses didn't have a golden scepter in his hand. He had a rod, a shepherd's stick. I can assure you it was crooked. It wasn't perfectly straight. But it did the job. It did the job in shepherding sheep. And we see here that God chooses not to use a king holding a golden scepter to lead God's people out of bondage. God chooses to use a shepherd holding a crooked stick in his hand to lead God's people out of bondage. And as long as Moses was inside of that stick, that rod, he was no doubt kept humble. Because we've got to be mindful of the fact that the Egyptians despised shepherds. Despised them passionately. This rod in the hand of Moses was not the means of conquering the world by any means. But in order for that rod to be used of God, it needed to conform to God's will. That's why Moses was asked the question, what is in thine hand? And he responded, well, I've got a rod. And then note the response in the third verse. And he said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground. And the Bible teaches us, and he cast it on the ground, And note what happens in the third verse, and it became a serpent. It miraculously turned into a snake, a serpent. That crooked stick that was used to guide sheep, when Moses let it go, let it drop to the ground, it became miraculously a snake. And note what Moses did at the end of verse number 3. It reads, Moses fled from it. He ran away from it. Rightfully so. So would have you. If you saw a snake within sight, you would go in the opposite direction. The Bible says he fled, he ran from before it. He understandably at least stepped back, he distanced himself from the snake. And then note verse number 4, God spoke to Moses again, and the Lord said unto Moses, now put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now God tells Moses to grab this snake that was once upon a time his rod, take it by the tail. And then at the end of verse number four, and he put forth his hand and caught it. He would have had to. I don't imagine that snake would have cooperated. And caught it, and the Bible teaches us, and as soon as he caught it, it became a rod in his hand once again. So in doing so, it becomes a rod in his hand. Now this would have been a dangerous thing to do. To grab a snake by the tail, that's a no-no. That's something that a city person would do. Ignorant. You would be safer to try and pick up the snake around its neck. So it would have taken some courage for Moses to do what God had told him to do. See, God's ways are not our ways. In Isaiah 55:9, the Bible reads, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Proverbs, we are told in chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And that's exactly what God did with Moses. He directed him. It didn't make much sense to him, but he, by faith, courageously did what God had told him to do. And then with this little exercise, note verse 5. God makes an application on the behalf of Moses. He said, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So God affirmed to him that they will believe, Israel will believe that I have formally sent you to deliver them out of bondage. What's the main lesson within this portion of Scripture? Moses was concerned about his ability to do what God had called him to do. He said, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that that you appeared to me and you've instructed me to lead them. They're just not going to believe. I just can't see, God, how they're going to believe me. How can I do it? And God simply asked of Moses that he surrender. Surrender. When he asked that question then, verse number 2, what is in thine hand? And Moses responded, a rod. And then God said, cast it on the ground and see what I can do with that rod. I can do the miraculous with that which is presented before me. And in the same way, you and I as the people of God just need to cast down our rod before him. In other words, we need to surrender to him. See, that rod that he held in his hand represented what he'd been doing for the last 40 years. Shepherding. That's what it represented. And God said to Moses, cast it down. So I see here the principle of surrender. See, God's calling, beloved, is God's enabling. But just like God challenged Moses and instructed Moses to surrender, so likewise God is saying to you and I, if we want to be used of God and move forward for God's glory, there needs to be a surrendered will. We need to cast down our rod before God. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about presenting your body a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. So if you and I truly want to move forward for the Lord and be used of God in 2022, there needs to be surrender. That which you hold tightly in your hand, God's after it. God's after it. And if you want to be used of God, God's going to ask the question, what's in your hand? And once we confess that we know exactly what we're holding on to, that which is our security, that which has been our livelihood for the last 40 years, then God will say, let it go. And just see what I can do with it. The principle of surrender. See, the Lord took Moses for who he was. God had no expectations of him to be something or someone else. The last 40 years, Moses has been a shepherd on the backside of the desert. He had no privileged position. He didn't live in a palace. He was literally a nobody. God took him for who he was. And in the same way, God wants to use you, God wants to use me, just as we are. I think of Amos, the prophet. God took him from farming and called him to preach. I think of John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, and I think of Luke, two totally different individuals. Yet God used them both because they were willing to surrender. See, God wants availability, not ability. When Moses asked the question, "They will not believe me," that was not God's concern. God simply said to Moses, "That rod in your hand, cast it down." See, God wants availability. And God can take that which is insignificant and weak like a stick and do something special with it. But there needs to be surrender. Moses had to let go of the rod. In surrender, there are things that we all need to let go of. I think of Elisha. Elisha came from a very wealthy home. Wealthy home. And Elisha was willing to let go. Let go of the rod, so to speak, and follow Elijah. And you know as well as I do that Elisha went on to perform more miracles than Elijah. God used him mightily because he was willing to let go. And could it be that God wants to move you in 2022, but he's asking the question, what are you holding on to? Let it go. Surrender. Surrender. And in letting it go, don't expect it back. God graciously gave Moses his rod back. Turned that rod into a snake, and then from a snake back to a rod. God was gracious with Moses. And we read about this rod in the following chapters. But he's still got this rod. It's significant. The principle of surrender. And that's what I want to leave with you this evening. See, God's calling is God's enabling. But God can only use vessels that are fully surrendered. And that's the problem for most of us. We have God boxed. We have God, our loyalty to God is on a conditional basis. I'll do this. But no, no, no. Don't expect me to do that. That's not me. That's not my skill set or whatever. But see, God just wants you and I to just let go of that which we're holding on to. Let it go. Make yourself available. I'll do the miraculous and they will believe you that I've called you. Surrender. So when I think of this little event here in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, I'm mindful of the principle of surrender. Let it go. See, God's calling is God's enabling, child of God. But God wants a living sacrifice. God doesn't want, God cannot use a dead sacrifice. God wants a full and complete living sacrifice. And if you want to be used of God, if you want to move on for the Lord, you and I just need to let go of that which we are holding on to. That security, that personal desire, that dream, or how we envision what will happen. And we just need to say, "Lord, here am I. Here am I." And that which we hold in our hand, let it go.
And God said to Moses, don't you worry, they'll believe you. I'll use you. You will lead my people out of bondage. Just remember this rod. I can work. You just need to let go. And maybe there's something in your life that you need to let go of. Pride. The pride of life is a curse, the curse of life. We all battle with it. What is it that God is saying to you and I this evening? What's in your hand, child of God? Let it go. I want to use you. I want to use you mightily. Let it go. Let it go. Moses, what's in your hand? A rod. Let it go. The principle of surrender. Are you fully surrendered? Why is it that we constantly struggle with laborers? The laborers are few. There are more churches now without pastors. More. Since the last time I brought this up, which wasn't that long ago. You know what the problem is? Surrender. I cannot believe that God isn't calling. I just can't believe that. But I'm afraid that many of God's people are holding tightly to that rod of security. And God's saying, let it go, my son. Let it go. Let's bow for prayer.